Let us pray. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him, with her, and he with me. Lord, we know you stand by us. We know when two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. We know you want to dwell in us. We know you have power for us to live with you. Come, Holy Spirit, and bind us to the risen Christ. We open doors to you this morning, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes, those from Crete and Arabia. We hear them telling in our own language the mighty works of God." And all were amazed, perplexed, and said, "What does this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They're drunk." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord. You know, Peter was a new man there, and Ezekiel said, a new heart I'm going to give you. I'm going to cut out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh, a tender heart. And Peter, we know, left Jesus, betrayed him, said he did not want to know him publicly. He did not know him 3 times. And the disciples fled from the cross. And here we have Peter beginning a ministry that's never been seen again. And he stands and he not only explains, he interprets by the prophet, Joel. So a wonderful teacher, and he goes on to explain the death and resurrection of Jesus. And the teaching begins in Acts, and the church begins. This is where the church begins. This is everything. And they began waiting. They waited in the upper room praying in one accord. The disciples, the apostles, Mary, the mother of Jesus, some other women, and I can't remember who else, his brothers, Jesus' brothers. You know, who knows if somebody knew about it, didn't go. We don't know that, because they were going to be baptized in fire. And baptismo in Greek means dunked. That's why we dunk. You go under and you come up new. But this was with fire. I don't know what they were thinking would happen. But they were told they were praying. And did it cross their mind? It must be that the comforter, the promise is coming, a counselor, somebody, a spirit, and he's going to baptize in fire. John baptized in water to repent and say you're sorry. And there are still people preaching the gospel in the New Testament that didn't know the Holy Spirit. Remember, Apollos says, I never even heard so much as the Holy Spirit. I didn't hear about it. And lots of churches don't really live in the power of the Spirit after 2,000 years. And we can go on and on in a church body in disunity, in disarray of some kind, because we're not unified by something greater than we. We may say so, we may bow down, but we don't want fire. I speak as one, I'm going to tell you. So, for us, we don't have to wait. The waiting is over. The Holy Spirit came. I always remember seeing Pope John Paul II when he had those huge youth, that huge youth movement he began from Poland and in Europe. And you may remember, if you're older, that he would come in a Pope mobile, and the youth would be going crazy for Pope John Paul II. And I remember his words at one of those things were, not about himself, about the Holy Spirit. He used to speak about the Holy Spirit. In French, he said first, l'espoir est arrivé. Hope has arrived. And my brothers and sisters, hope has arrived for you this morning. I don't care what's happened to you. I don't care your history. It doesn't matter, because the Lord wants to baptize and make new, individually and together. There's no waiting. He's at the door. I went to a church when I was growing up, United Church. That's all the minister said every week. I mean, he said lots of things, but he didn't knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me, comes to the door. You know the famous painting by Holt? And the doorknob is on the inside. Jesus is outside. Google that painting. and all the vines are down. The darkness is all around the person. They don't want to get to the door. He's right there. And it's the same for us. He's here already. He is here this morning. We know that. Because otherwise, we are all, with the millions of others, going to be at IKEA and Costco. That's the alternative. Or we're going to be looking at somebody doing this on the stage. We're going to do something else with our worship. So, you know, if we understand the scripture at any level, the Holy Spirit is binding us to truth, revealing it. Because if you may know, the Bible is very difficult to read. A friend and I were confirmed in Anglican Church and Me United Church. We were 13, and we decided to be Christians. That's after we were confirmed. And we met, and we would start at Genesis. And we never got past about Genesis 3:1. We just couldn't do it. We didn't have the stamina. We didn't have the mind, because it's revealed by the Spirit. It's not like another book. I always remember a friend in Toronto. She was such a Christian, and she used to read. And I had a roommate. Guess what? I gave her an old Bible, just one I didn't like. You know, just regular paper, not onion skin. She wore it out. That Bible had to be thrown away. It was just disintegrated. That's the person I know best that knew the scripture. This other friend read it. Did I say this to you before? She read it so much, and her son said to her once, "Are you not finished?" I think I did tell you that. "Are you never finished that book?" But it always reveals something more because of the Holy Spirit. So our waiting now for the Holy Spirit, I believe, you check this. I'm not saying it's truth, but this is what I'm thinking this morning. Our waiting is, are we ready to live differently? Our waiting is the Holy Spirit presents to us ways that we're living that aren't quite fitting his idea. Because if he gives us power, his power, it has to be used for him. Peter used it right away. That's why Acts just flies, because they're using it for his glory all the way through. And people want the Lord. These people have probably never heard God praised in their own language. It was wild. They weren't saying, you know, "Worship Artemis, look how beautiful this goddess is." You know, whatever. "Come to the temple, there are sexual prostitutes. It's fabulous to watch." Same as we can see it on TV today. No, it praised the unseen God, and it blew their minds, because Peter used that power for the Lord and the revelation he has for all of us, all nations, no nation. And this is kind of the reverse of Babel, you know, where everybody now speaks a language that everybody understands. So our waiting reveals to us, you know, I'm just not sure that I want to live that way. I mean, I see a couple of Christians I'd like to copy, but the church is driving me crazy. Or I don't see anybody. And a woman said to me early on, "Do not look at the church, look at Christ. Do not look at Christians, look at Christ." But we all know, I think everybody here has someone in his or her life that we know we want to be like. And it's like Paul, "Copy me, imitate me as I imitate Christ." We're all in a line from Christ. It's come down and through us, through by him and by his Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit fell on those, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven, a rushing wind. It filled the home, tongues of fire. And I'm sure they didn't imagine they'd speak in other tongues. I mean, why would they do that? You know, they were going to speak in Cree, and somebody in the parking lot understands Cree. Like, it's so such a bizarre thing. So they experienced a power through them, not their own, and it was from a rushing wind that was otherworldly. I mean, you know, I see these, can't even name them, but movies or clips from movies, and it's like they're all the rage. And you really, they're really nothing on the gospel. Like, they're weird, another world, and resurrection, and really, it's nothing to this. It is cheap to this. They're all imitative. Do you know they're imitating this? Okay. E.T. I could rest my case. And the disciples experienced this power, and it gave them a fluency in another language. Now, how much do we want to be fluent in a language? We have to work a lot of years to be fluent. But simply to bless people, not to impress them, not to teach them, just to bless and let them hear their culture praising God. You know, that's, they were filled with love and unity already, just in a second. And Jesus' words came true right there. The Holy Spirit will comfort, he'll counsel, he'll bless. And Ezekiel's words came true. I've got a new heart. I don't hate that race anymore. I don't think those ones are foreign and weird. They had a heart of soft heart. And who does not want a soft heart? Hunt to hundreds of strangers at once. I know me and Gabriela. I see the odd person. I give a wide berth. You might be one of them. Are you that one on weed I've seen? I might be the one on weed you've seen. But, you know, we give each other a wide berth sometimes, especially if we've had a run-in. And I've had a couple of run-ins. I've had a couple of run-ins on Gabriel, and I've got to go the other way. But, you know, that's not the Lord. Okay. People are called drunk, but he ain't. Okay. I'm going to start this. I'm sure you've all had many experiences of the Holy Spirit. There is no restraint imaginable for what the Spirit of God can show and tell. There are so many manifestations. You know, the Bible says if it listed everything, there's not enough room. There are not enough volumes in the world to tell. And I know you can tell me, you know, 100 details of something that happened to you. It was the Lord, it was a coincidence, and then she came in, and then this happened, and then... You know, fabulous stories, we all have them, of the manifestations of his life and force and healing and grace. And I wish, when I, you know, try to speak on a passage like this, I wish that nothing is lost in the Lord's power in us and on all those who live near to us, on the island. In almost 40 years as a Christian, I couldn't tell all the ways I've seen the Holy Spirit and the glory of God. I would love to pray for you, for his power. And I know and trust you know his power in and over much of your life. I would love to pray for the gift of tongues, and there's nothing stopping you from asking for that gift. I would pray that you might rest in the Spirit. Even be slain in the Spirit, fall and rest. And you even now may be resting in your spirit, and you may experience that every day. I have no idea. But when I think of what I've seen, or simply what I've heard over those 40 years, I'm stunned. And I was stunned in preparing it, and I'm going to just tell you. From early days, I trained as an actress in England. A bum actress, I trained as a bum actress and a bad comedian at about the end of my 20s. And I was in London, England for 2 years. And I heard there, it was where I was converted, and I'm going to tell that to you. But I heard John Stott. I heard, you know, and gifted as a teacher, as a leader, a pastor, an administrator, a writer. I heard Billy Graham in John Stott's church, City Temple in London, England. And I always think of Paul when the boy fell off from the rafters, because it had balconies, that church, and it was jammed for Billy Graham. And the plates came forward, and the friend I was with, he didn't get saved, but he never got over the money falling over the plates, you know, because people were just throwing money, because the living word came from Billy Graham. It just, you know, and I realize now I've forgotten. I used to remember exactly what he said in that meeting. it was so riveting because he has the gift from the Holy Spirit of the evangelist. And he's one of the most famous in our time. And even now, old. Billy Graham didn't die, did he? No, he's old. And he's in his room and he's cared for. And he can't see well. But in his latest book, it says he gets them to put up big scriptures around his room so he can read them all the time. You know? And they says the Word of God sustains him by the Spirit of God now. So I heard that, you know. And I remember returning to Toronto. Billy Graham was going to there. I went down to Madison Square Gardens. No, you couldn't get a seat there, Mary Charlotte. What was I thinking? I was out in the crowd down the street, a big blower. I couldn't even hear him. But I had that opportunity. I heard John Wimber, a great healer, a man who taught in the States, saying, let's just ask for healing. If it doesn't work, fine, but let's just ask. Because he said to ask. And I saw people. I know they were healed. I mean, it was a huge thing, conference of people. And you may have read John Wimber, but a gift of healing. But always said he buried many people that he prayed for healing. But he left it to the Lord. He was never ashamed to ask, and we mustn't be either. I heard Leanne Payne, her last conference near Chicago at Wheaton, 2007. Leanne Payne, who died this year in her early 80s, she wrote early. She couldn't even write this now, Crisis in Masculinity, The Broken Image, Real Healing Presence, The Restoration of the Christian Soul, great healer and minister in compassion, mercy, and theology, studied under Kilby, who's the current editor of C.S. Lewis. She was a C.S. Lewis scholar. You couldn't imagine hearing her for hour upon hour for a week. I can't do any of this that I've seen or heard. I wish I could. I would love to invite you up. We fall down and we pray all day. I would love that because I've had that opportunity so many times. But I don't know this church, and I've never done that. But I wish it for you. We can do it, but I've not done it. But I can describe what happened to me. And then I thought we could pray a little bit at the end. And I'm definitely available. I know Chris is, Earl is, to pray. Anything you want to pray for the Lord, for the Holy Spirit, for relief from something. But I have had evidence that would lead most people to live a life of power in the Holy Spirit and never look back. But there are so many ways that I have blocked the Holy Spirit in my life. Nevertheless, I pray for my new life, my life in Christ alone. And I believe to live is Christ, to die is gain. I was marked forever by that new forgiven mark. My own conversion was not one that we encourage people to have, like repent, say what's wrong with what you're doing or thinking, and ask for the Lord Jesus to forgive you. It was not that. It was a great adventure and surprise in the Holy Spirit. My conversion happened when I saw a man that I'd known for some time, and he was a new man. He wasn't different, he was new. And it was when I was in England. During that time, I trained for 1 year, and it was between years, and I was boarding with a Christian family that I'd come to know. And I'm from London, Ontario. Everything in London, Ontario tries to be British. Like, we have the Thames River, and I lived at Piccadilly Street, and you try to look British. You try to look proper. It's all form and no function. That's what I used to say about Rickroll. So I wanted to hear the gospel. I'd heard the gospel in Jamaica, but I wanted to hear it from rich white people that were British. You know, that's the truth. That's what the Lord knew about me. So when I went to England, I met people who were some titled, and they loved Jesus. And I just thought, okay, they've got wealth, they've got title, they've got privilege, they've got looks. Why do they need Jesus? I couldn't get over that. Neither could this man, Buzz Dully. And this family had taken care of his daughter, and then I was boarding with them. So whenever they used to gather, Buzz and I would find each other immediately because we were the only non-believers. And we'd say, been reading any songs lately? You know, we're just bad, just really bad. And we would sort of be cynical and, you know, we didn't know what to do because they'd be talking about evidence for Noah's Ark or, you know, like brilliant things. And we were just like, we didn't know anything, but these people were so nice to us. Okay, so that's kind of Buzz. I sort of had a crush on him. I think he was a divorced man and maybe now a widower. He was way older than I was. And I wanted to get married. My life in London, Ontario was near Detroit. It was near Motown Sound. And all we did was dance and hope to marry rich boys or... you must look at me and think, you poor thing. If they weren't rich boys, they had to be very funny hippie boys. Just some kind of boys. So anyway, this was wearing off with me now. You know, I'm in my late 20s, and that is going nowhere, that idea. It's just going south, that idea. So I was living with this family, and they were a family that forgave each other. And it just didn't happen in our family. You know, they would have a boo-boo, and then they'd all settle in and just have fun again. And I had not experienced that. So I watched them. And they would ask me, you know, I sensed I wanted to lead a new life. I did not want to see men in the way I'd been seeing them. You know, it wasn't as bad as you could think. Because look at me, it wasn't so bad. But it was not good. And I just had, honestly, I had stuff in my heart that if I put it on this, you would all run out. So it was just after men. Let's put it there. Let's say lust. Just take it there. Does anybody know what? Is there a yes here? No. So I thought, I'm going to change my life. I am going to live with this Christian family. I am in a new country. Nobody knows my reputation. That's not true. And I am going to go to church with them every week. Now, they were strong Christians, so they could go to sort of a bad church. They went to a really dull Anglican church. And it was the kind that was built in about 1300, and the roof was in disrepair. And in England, there are lots of signs outside, at that time, lots of signs out churches, like with wrought iron, like they're permanent signs that say building fund. They're permanent. And they'll say building fund, and you know, they'll mark it up like 50p each week. You know, it's a real grind. You don't get a feeling much is happening in the church because the roof is actually never getting done. So I went there, and they kept encouraging me to go to John Stott's church. Oh, no, I don't want to go with, I don't know what that is. So I stayed with them. But the thing was, I remember dressing and, you know, getting ready to go to church, and I looked good. But my inside was getting worse. Like, it was getting worse. The feelings I had and the foulness that I had was worse. And I became aware that nothing external could clean the inside. Now that scared me. And they used to talk to me, and they would say to me, I don't remember anything else, but they told me this afterwards. Audrey said, Mary Charlotte, we used to say to you, have you experienced the Holy Spirit? And I would say, I don't remember this. I said, no. Never heard of it. And I think they must have been trying to explain the gospel to me. They had devotions every morning. It was like when Grant was talking. It was just like, You know, because I think the Lord opens you at a certain time. But I had the perfect setup, and I couldn't hear a word. But the Lord was, I guess the Holy Spirit now, and I think, was convicting me. This was filthy. This wasn't funny. This wasn't a social life. This was filthy. So they asked me, would I come on a retreat, like Kids Club? Would I come for the week away to the country and work in the kitchen? I thought, that'd be a lark. What a riot. Ah, go on a religious retreat. Sure. And my friends, drama school. All laughing, what are you going to do? I'm going to go on a religious retreat for a week. You're kidding. No, it's going to be a riot. So they go to this place, and it's in the country. It's sort of like a small town, poor man's Downton Abbey. It was like an estate, and it was the first time they'd done what they call a house party, and it was all families. And they had arranged outstanding speakers for each night. I didn't know this. They had a huge book table. They had activities for the kids, and everyday speakers, incredible speakers. And then and they had counselors. And I thought, that is so great. They're going to have counselors. Why would anyone go to a counselor? But anyway, there are going to be lots of counselors. I mean, I was just so... So anyway, we drove in the night. And we drove into this place. I was helping in the kitchen. And we arrived like at 11 or something. 10 or 11. It was dark. And I come into the kitchen. I love upper class English accents. And I come into the kitchen, and this young woman was organizing the kitchen stuff. And they said, this is Mary Charlotte Wilcox. And she said, they were all around a huge stove, like an industrial stove, like you would see in Downton Abbey, you know, but on the main floor, but a big, old thing. She said, oh, Mary Charlotte, good evening. Come and join us. We're just praying over the stove. So, you know, I remember this. I immediately scanned the room like, who is driving back to London? I gotta get out of here. Sayonara. Here today, gone to Maui. I was just like, what is this? Never mind, they didn't look at me. They're laying their hands on the stove. I'm sorry to say this. They began to pray. You know, Lord, we need the stove. I don't know. And I was just sweating and like, who is driving back? It's only the beginning of this weekend. How am I going to get, where am I? I was in Clarendon, where John Bunyan, I later found out, wrote Pilgrim's Progress. So I am like, oh my word. And then the next thing, about 30 seconds later, is the stove ignites. Yeah, you've had that with your car probably. Lord, help me. And it ignites. We don't know why. The stove ignites. And I thought, well, now they're going to think it's God. This is worse and worse, you know. So I went to bed. And let me see here. So after that, that's the beginning. But I didn't get a ride home. And bit by bit, the speakers were great. The people were great. I started having fun. I didn't like people after about 2 days. 48 hours was my limit for people. That's any color person, anybody, any sex, 2 or 3 days. I've had enough of people. And I couldn't believe I want to stay. I remember that very strange thing. And then towards the end of the week, we were sitting at the table, and Buzz Dully's daughter, it was lunch, I brought my lunch, and she said to me, Mary Charlotte, have you experienced the Holy Spirit? And I loved Sarah. I loved Buzz, her father. So I just lied. I said, yes, I have. And she said, well, that's so exciting. When did you experience the Holy Spirit? And I said, at Christmas when they sing carols. And she said, oh, I see. And she said, you know, maybe you want to hear Buzz. That's her dad. That's my compatriot in bad joking. I said, I'd love to see Buzz. Is Buzz coming? And she said, yeah, something's happened to Buzz. you might want to hear. And I said, I'm looking forward to it. And I remembered I couldn't eat. I went to my room. It was like a dorm. And I burst into tears, like tears from I don't know where, because I knew Sarah was talking about something that everybody there experienced, but I did not know. So I soldiered on, and then Buzz came, and it was, I think, that night, and he was offering, like me, to cook in the kitchen. He was doing a big barbecue for the kids. One of the women, the young women we were with, said to two or three of us, "Can I come and eat supper with you tonight? Are you going to go to supper, to the barbecue?" It was only later that I found out. I didn't even know the word at that time. She had not eaten with anyone for 3 years. She was a severe anorexic. But I didn't know anorexia. Like, this is 76. I didn't know anorexia. She had not eaten with anyone. She came to me at midnight, late that night, and she said, "I've never eaten. I haven't eaten with anyone." So that was kind of the atmosphere. So we said, "Yeah, come on, let's go down." We sat down on the ground with the kids. We're having hamburgers. And then somebody said, "Buzz Dully is speaking in the parlor, or the, you know, fancy chintzy room with a big stone fireplace." And I thought that must be private, like to the leaders or something. And I said, "Well, I wasn't invited." I was very conscious of trying to be mannerly, even though I was a filthy wretch. So, "I don't think I'm invited." And the person said, "The Holy Spirit's inviting us." And I went, "Okay, I'm right behind you." So we go along to the room, and they're in the middle of the story, Buzz's story. And the man whose family I live with, Tom, he's been introducing Buzz, and they're in the middle of the story. So I get a chair, room is packed, I get a little folding chair, I sit at the back. Buzz is saying, "I knelt down with my minister, the priest in the Anglican Church. I told him, I went to see him, and I just had these things to say to him. He said, 'Let's kneel on the floor.' And he said, 'A power came.'" I don't remember his story. "A power came." Oh, I didn't tell you this part. Buzz came to the kitchen door, and a day when he first arrived, and they said, "Mary Charlotte, have you met Buzz Dully?" And Buzz looked at me and said, "She's met some of me. She's never known all of me." And I saw a different man. And I thought, what? There was no, "Hey, Mary Charlotte, how's it going?" Arr, arr, arr. It was like, you didn't know me. And he went away. And I was like, what has happened to him? So I came into the room. And he was telling how he was a perfume importer. And he was rich. And he was telling how he had this experience, and then he went home, and you know, in England, and probably you have, liquor cabinets, beautiful liquor cabinets with beautiful things in them. And he had an inclination to strong drink, and he poured it down the sink. That was significant for him. He poured it down the sink, and then he went into his office, and his secretary of some years had a terrible cold. Terrible, disgusting. And she was sneezing and coughing and blowing her nose. And he said, "Mary, how are you?" And she said, "I'm sick." He said, "What would you say if I offered to lay hands on you and pray for healing?" She said, "I would praise the Lord because I've been praying for you for 15 years. So they did that. Then the next thing he told was, then this is it that I remember, he went to a meeting, a business meeting, where there was a £15,000 error, you know, which at that time, you know, it's $30,000, but now it would be more. And everybody was passing the buck on it, because it was Buzz. It was Buzz's fault. And he had never owned up to anything like that. So they were passing it around, and rah, rah, rah. And Buzz said, "Actually, that was me. I made a slip there. That $15,000 was my mistake." And he said everybody just about keeled over, because he'd been such a masterful schloozer, right? So then Tom says at the end of this, "Tom, my, you know, people, is there anyone in the room that would like to receive the Holy Spirit?" Listen, I didn't know what the Holy Spirit was. I didn't know what Jesus did. I didn't know the atonement. I didn't know the cross. I didn't know the ascension or the resurrection. But whatever that man had, I got to get it. And now, in perfect English society, my nose is running like this. I am like this. I'm crying. I was not myself. Like, I would have left. I was like, me. Me. And I was at the back. And Tom said later, he thought, no, she can't have it because she doesn't know what she's doing. And she doesn't have a clue about Jesus, and it's not possible. That's what he said. And so anyway, they divided us into groups. I went with this one group, and they asked each of us, and Tom was in that group, what would you like to ask of God? And I said, you know, I believe in my head, but my heart does not follow. I don't know in my heart. And you know, I tell you this because it's true. I did not know Acts. You can depend on that. I had never been past Genesis 1. I did not know Acts. There was a wind that came into the room when they prayed for the Holy Spirit with about 12 of us. A wind came in. And that wind embraced me. And I felt Mary Charlotte, you're a sinner? No. Mary Charlotte, you are so excellent to me. And then it went around. You know, there was a couple that said, I want to believe, we want to believe, but our little boy is here and all the children are playing and he's stone deaf and I just can't believe in a God that wouldn't heal. And Tom said, let's pray for healing. That was in July. At Christmas, they sent out a letter saying that little boy was healed and no doctor could explain it. He could hear perfectly. And in the morning, someone else had like a sunburn mark on their back because they said of the heat they felt. And so now when I read cloves, you know, like tongues, like fire, rested on them, she said that was what she experienced. And I went up to bed and I could not stop reading the Bible. That was a miracle. I found a room by myself and I was reading the Bible. And that's when that young woman came to me and said, you know, I haven't eaten in 3 years. So this Buzz was another man, just the way Peter was a new man. And I felt what Buzz had is what I needed inside. And I became a new man. I became a new woman. The next morning, I am totally finishing. The next morning, I ran a bath. You know, it was an old English bathroom, big tub, and I ran a big bath. And I got in, you know, just in the morning. And I felt so clean. I felt so clean inside. This is my point. I took the bath. It was just great. As much water. You looked out in the countryside like Downton. Me, the queen now, Queen Charlotte. So I took a bath, I got dressed, I went down, breakfast, first speaker, break at 10 o'clock. I go back upstairs, think I'll have another bath, go to the tub, da-da-da, look out at the crowd, get dressed, go back down, another speaker, lunch, break, up. It was at my third bath that I realized I was trying to clean the outside now to be as clean as the inside. It had been reversed. The Lord has to come in and through us, through our history, through our idiocy, through our selfishness, through our nonsensical. As a Christian, listen, don't be a Christian. What we do as a Christian, after that experience, I know as a Christian that when I slip from being led by the Spirit, and speaking to you, you know that Chris asked me to speak here. This 3 weeks has been so precious to me because when I slip and when I think when we slip, as Christians, we say we're Christians, but we fall, we slip, and we crash right back into works. That's the enemy of the Spirit. Doing good is the enemy of doing great in power by the Holy Spirit. We just do things. We don't give up looking like a Christian, but the inside gets there and you start to work it up. You work it up. You white knuckle it. And you start handling those horrible thoughts in your own strength, and you can't do it. It'll kill you. You were not meant, we were not meant to bear the weight of sin. You can't. You can't. That's why Jesus is on the cross and you are not. Let Jesus do what he did, and let the Holy Spirit, like me, I didn't even know Jesus, but the Holy Spirit applied the atonement to me. He applied the cross to me. I didn't know what it was. And it's the same with the Gentiles in the New Testament. They didn't know, but the Holy Spirit fell. I guess we better baptize because they felt fire and they're cleansed, right? I would never say after that time there was no God or I'm not a Christian, but I did fall away. I did all kinds of things that I wish I hadn't done. I wish I hadn't done. And I talked about being a Christian, but it wasn't good. And I would still allow myself to live a closed-in life, trying to figure out my future, where God's word to me would start to seem harsh, and my word to myself harsher still. That's not the Lord. The law came with Moses, but with Jesus, grace and truth. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin very gently. You just want to release it. It's never like a knock on the head. If it's a knock on the head, I say it is not the Lord. So I so discourage you from living a life of form over function. I beg you. The Holy Spirit gives us power in his gifts to leadership, healing, prayer, prophecy, administration, mercy. Don't let a day, an hour of that adventure go by you. I leave you with this last thing. The Metters, this family, later took me. They wanted me to go to the country with them, another idyllic little trip, to see a man who was, I think, then in his 70s. And they wanted me to tell him what happened to me. So I said, sure. So we go, and they arranged that, and they said, you know, I don't know, remember his name, Harry, you know, we wondered if Mary Charlotte could tell you what happened to her. He said, yes. So I told the story. You know, I'm sure the Metters ministered to him afterwards and prayed with him. I do not remember. All I remember is I told him this story, and he looked at me, and very sadly he said, that happened to me once. And it was stunning to me. I thought, I don't want to live a life when I'm 70 that I look back and say, yeah, I remember the Holy Spirit, but it was a one-off. For me, I don't remember what they said after that or whether he, you know, but I took it as a cautionary tale. And I give it to you. An experience of the Holy Spirit can come in any way. And how I've seen it in my last 20 years, more than before, but always it was my interest. Why didn't St. Paul, I said this to John, talk about his sisters and his brothers and his parents and all the pain they give us and I give them? Why didn't somebody talk to me about emotional life and what the Lord did to that? But from the beginning, I've been interested, from those early days with the Metters, because they were interested in inner healing. And in the last 20 years, I've experienced, and through Leanne Payne, so many moves of the Holy Spirit that aren't being struck down, although people have, even here, since I've been here, you know, fallen or felt weak and needed the Lord's touch. But I have listened with people in small twos and threes, as one of us allows our life to come before him, and he brings up and out what is like vomit to us spiritually, and he heals us. And that to me has been such a restoration to see in people, in marriages, in me. And I hope it for you. And, you know, I just want to finish with that little sheet I gave you on the flip side. If we could just finish with a moment or two of prayer. And if you want to pray with me afterwards, I know there is a prayer meeting for Kids Club. But if you just, if Ozzy and Adolf would just come, and if you'd like a pencil to just jot a couple of things down as the Lord might speak them to you, it might just help you to remember. Ozzy on this side if you need a pencil, and Adolf on this side if you'd like a pencil. And I'm just going to read these two questions to you, and you can just jot down. Please don't look at your neighbor. What do they say? How do you know a pastor? Every time they speak in public, they say, all eyes closed and all knees bowed. But just your own paper. And I'm just going to pray this with you. Lord, I thank you for your presence with us. I pray for anything that you wish to, any way you wish to move in us, Lord, by your gentleness, by your kindness, by your comfort. And I just ask you to quieten yourself for a moment. And just each of us listening to the Lord. I have my pencil here. This might take a minute. When were you last aware of the Holy Spirit's presence? And this question, and I certainly would be pleased to pray more in this way with anybody privately or here after the song. Is there something or someone, a relationship, a habit, your own history, a secret, a hurt, that can always interfere with you being able to receive the influence of the Holy Spirit? A block or a tether or a bond that prevents you? Probably come quickly to your mind. Just hold, if you would just indicate to me like this, if you would like prayer, because we could have a moment or two, or I could be in an office there. Is there anybody? Should we pause now, or should we just finish the service? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. So maybe, okay, great. So maybe we could meet in the office, one and then two. Okay, so if you sit here, I'll come for you after. Okay? Thank you. Bless you. Bless you.